Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
With the news of the day, there will be no charges filed against Von Miller by the DA. The investigation was done by the Parker police. It was handed off to the DA. The DA needed to make a decision based on was there enough evidence, and they don't necessarily need the alleged victim to actually be part of it. You can move forward without that, but you do have to feel like you've got enough evidence to get a conviction. And the DA in their statement said it didn't meet that criteria. There aren't going to be any charges filed. Tyler, your reaction to that?
Boy, what a just bizarre sequence of events that, this entire thing has been through. From the initial information that was leaked out there that there was an investigation going on, and we're sitting here saying, well, what's the investigation in regards to? Nobody really knew specifics. And yes, I am aware of specific stuff that was leaked to the internet, and not a good look by any means. But nobody really knew what specifically Vaughn was being investigated for. And this thing went on for a long time. I actually kind of thought it was just gone, that it was over with, because we didn't hear anything for a long time. I mean, I don't know how many weeks or months went by between the initial information that was leaked and by the time the Parker Police Department released a statement saying that they passed it over to the DA. And by the time it went over to the DA, it just felt like it was all going to be gone.
Tony Kobolewski, who's an investigative reporter for Denver 7, will join us in about an hour or so, as this is one of those stories that crosses the line between sports and news, and Tony is an amazing investigative reporter. So we'll see. We can go there in about an hour to see, well, okay, what is going on with this case. So we'll get into the story of that deeper in an hour, but just a headline that has happened, and we'll see where it goes with a $7 million decision the Broncos have to make on Von Miller before the 17th, so on the 16th, or no later than the 16th.
However, it certainly takes that decision back down to the basics of football at this point. So
yeah, yeah.
There's nothing else hovering around that decision and that option that they have to pick up. It now comes down specifically to finances and football.
Okay, the other news today is that Justin Simmons will be tagged by the Broncos for the second time. All right, we did expect that. We didn't necessarily expect it today, but we did expect it. They had until the 9th to make their minds up on it. What's your reaction to that?
Again, I guess information that I'm definitely not surprised to see. I definitely thought that Justin Simmons was going to get tagged. I think just about everybody in Denver thought that Justin Simmons was going to get tagged. Now the only question is this going to lead towards a long-term deal? You know, the way that these things work is that you've got a guy that you know it's going to be difficult to come to in a long-term agreement with him. He's valuable. You slap him with the franchise tag. Now we're going to be stuck for a handful of months now, probably until mid-July, before we won't hear much of information about anything, because deadlines create deals, and we've got a whole bunch of space between now and the deadline, which is mid-July. I do think that the team will come to a long-term agreement with them, because, man, D-Mac, Justin's getting paid $13.729 million on the franchise tag this year. Buda Baker is the highest paid safety in the NFL, and he's making a little over 14 per season. So the difference between 13.7 and whatever it were to be, even if you were to pay him the highest, it's so negligible, it's not even funny. And now what this 13.729 is to Justin Simmons, that is now the bare floor. That's the minimum. I'm already making that this year, so I won't accept anything less than that. I think both sides are going to be motivated to come to a long-term agreement, and I still expect that to happen.
Okay. I am a little confused. See, on our free agent fever board, we also have categories or boxes that guys can go into so that we have a clear understanding of what's out there for the Broncos. Both you and I and Cecil Lammy have Justin Simmons as our number one priority. There are quite a few hosts on this show that don't have Justin Simmons up there at all. which begs the question, really? You didn't think he was important? But okay. I'm more than happy, Richie, in our arts and crafts studio here, to put Justin Simmons in the franchise tag box, because that's exactly what has happened to him. And I understand everybody in the franchise tag box is likely to be working with their teams to get a long-term deal. I think that kind of goes without saying, but you're hesitant about that.
Well, I mean, technically speaking, I suppose he belongs in the category of franchise players, not fighting that. My only point is that in my mind, I'm still treating Justin Simmons as if he is a priority to sign in free agency this year. He hasn't signed the franchise tag, by the way. He's just been applied it.
He's been tagged.
He will be a Denver Bronco in 2021. I got you. My only point here is that I still view Justin Simmons as a priority to get done during this offseason. So whatever category that fits in, find me a new board. Put up a category of franchise players that I still want to sign.
I don't think we need to put up a new board. I think that kind of goes without saying that
you've been really hesitant to want to give Justin Simmons a long-term deal. You want him to play on the franchise tag.
No, I don't. I want him to be signed to a long-term deal.
Oh, hold on. We've been arguing for months about the value of that position.
Hold on. Richie, just break the tie here.
I'm not making that up.
I want Justin Simmons to be here for a long time. I do.
What have we been arguing about for like the last month about the value of the position and all that's true.
It's how much you want to pay him and what kind of priority you want to make him.
All right. Well, that's been very confusing, but, okay. Anyways. All right. Well, if we're both in agreement, fine. Great. Awesome.
Yeah.
He's still a priority to me.
He's still a priority, but that's why help me here, Richie, because I feel like I'm spinning in a circle. Isn't it fair to say that every player who gets franchise tagged? And at the end of the day, the team would like to keep him longer? I mean, how many guys get franchise tagged and the team just wants him for 1 year?
Oh, that's not the point. The point is what my goals are for the offseason. What do you mean?
What box should this go in, Richie? What are we doing here? Because to me, one way or the other, Justin Simmons comes off the free agent fever board. He's done. One way or the other, he's got to come off.
Okay, we'll create a new Broncos priority list and I'll put him in the priority list. Because to me, that's what that board is. That's my priority list.
Richie?
Okay. I would say personally that he definitely comes off the free agent fever board because he is no longer a free agent.
He is no longer a free agent.
And if you still want to say, hey,
okay,
I want to
sign
to a long-term deal.
Do this. Take my list, move it from the free agent board and just write Tyler's off-season priority list. How about that? That would make sense still.
Okay. So it could be both. Would there be another player in your offseason priority list besides Justin Simmons?
No, my list still remains the same.
Oh, so you want to just leave him on the free agent fever board? You don't want to move?
Nope, now it's the priority list. Now it's the offseason priority list.
Oh, so it's not a free agent fever board anymore?
No, because you're having problems with that. So
I got you.
So I'm trying to come to an agreement here since whatever reason you're having issues with that.
So here's what you got to do, Richie. Over Tyler's name and Tyler's name only, you have to just write offseason priority list.
And then put a parenthesis because D-back's having issues with Tyler leaving him up there.
Sure.
This is starting to feel like it's all going to fit on an 8x11 piece of paper.
Yeah.
And I will put it up behind your chair.
But for me and for Cecil Lammy, you can simply take Justin Simmons and put him in the franchise tagged bucket because that's what literally happened. And that leaves more room to think about who else would get tagged. Or not tagged, but...
So do you no longer want to focus on getting him a long-term deal?
I think it goes without saying. Once you become tagged, that becomes a priority. I don't think you have to...
Wasn't a priority last year.
I think it was a priority. It didn't happen. He played on the
tag.
It was highly unusual.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean...
I don't want that to happen again.
Just make Tyler happy. Okay.
You're the one causing this whole issue. What are you talking about? I didn't have it. I had nothing to do with this entire segment.
Just take me and
you're talking in circles about nothing.
Me and Cecil just put us over with and Nick has Teddy Bridgewater up there. You have to Teddy Bridgewater's not even a free agent. What don't people understand about this? Why does Nick
okay,
have
right on
Teddy
there, I still want to sign him to a long-term deal. Does that make everybody happy? These boards are dumb. I'm with the morning show. The boards are dumb. We're overcomplicating them. It's a priority list. See what you did? You just turned me against you again. That's what you just did.
How deep did we dig the foxhole in the first place?
That's what you just did. You just turned me against you.
I mean, if the foxhole isn't deep enough for me, it's a small foxhole.
Well, listen, buddy. I destroyed you yesterday. If you're going to have an issue over this, I'm happy to abandon all these arts and crafts projects if you want to.
We have more mocks coming up. I do have a name for the free agent fever board in light of the fact that Justin Simmons isn't on it anymore, and we'll see what Tyler wants to come up with. That's next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is for free agents.
I already have. Oh, look at Richie made the. Richie made the change. So Justin Simmons remains on Tyler's free agent fever board.
No, that's not my free agent board. You got to call it the right name now.
I'm sorry. It's the
off-season priority list.
The Tyler's off-season priority list.
That's right.
On
OPL for short. Right.
Okay.
Right. TOPL actually.
On the free agent fever board, the FAF. That I exist on and everybody else on the station, we have moved Justin Simmons over to the franchise tag spot. It was recently pointed out to me that perhaps Simmons was happy about getting tagged again because he would never have to be tagged for the rest of his career. So perhaps this gets something out of the way. And
I'm sorry, explain that logic?
I just did.
No, I didn't get that logic. Go ahead, explain that.
He can never, ever be tagged again.
So he's happy about getting franchise tagged?
I wouldn't say happy, but maybe if it was going to happen, let's just do it, get it out of the way. And I think it is important to emphasize.
Why give like $45 million guaranteed when I could get franchise tagged? That's a great deal.
The relationship.
I would love that.
The relationship with the Broncos and Simmons, to your point, is solid.
Oh, it's got
to
be fantastic. I got to imagine this is about the most acrimonious,
yes,
negotiation you could possibly come across.
Yeah, and that doesn't always happen. A lot of guys, it's different things for different guys. For this one, with this news today, with Justin Simmons, it's all good. Now, what he chooses to do, who knows? I don't know. And I think he will remain a high priority for the Broncos to get a deal done. I think incredibly clear that this is not going to be like a Bradley Roby situation where I think they just tagged him because they really weren't sure. And at the end of the day, they're just like, you know what? We'd rather not. This is not like that.
I heard Dan Campbell coming up. Wow, this is the season where teams try to convince you that the franchise tag is a good deal. I heard Dan Campbell come out just yesterday saying the exact same thing. If I was a player, I would love to be franchise tagged. You know how much money that is? I would love to be franchise tagged. It's what an honor. And it is an honor that you are that good of a football player for sure. But there's no way, no how that any player that's in that situation prefers to be franchise tagged.
Here's where I'm screwing up again, I guess. I was going to, and Richie, just, you don't have to, I got to put a pause in this because I was going to, on my free agent fever board, put Kyle Van Noy. I was just like, hey, okay, let's get that done.
Yeah, not a free agent.
Well, he's not. In fact, I'm reading a story that just came out a few hours ago.
Trade bait.
He's now trade bait.
He's been trade bait. What do you mean?
Well, I thought he was just being dumped by the Dolphins. Like, it's just done. It's over.
Oh.
It's like he's going to be released. That's it. He's out there.
Yeah, so that's been out there for a couple days now. The Kyle Van Noy's been he's on the trade bait candidate list. So here's what happens. They put it out there. He likely will be released because teams know at this point that the Dolphins are trying to trade him. And, you know, more than likely, nobody's going to trade for him unless they like the contract and they're okay with whatever I don't know what he's getting paid. But if a team's okay with the amount that he is getting paid, maybe somebody will trade for him. But, yeah, he's on that trade bait list. There's a bunch of guys that are popping out like this. All the guys that are in the category of this potential like bloodbath that's coming out next week.
Yeah.
Like Trent Brown, right tackle for the Raiders. Mm-hmm. He's in the trade bait list. Gabe Jackson, trade bait list. Trey Turner for the Chargers, trade bait list. These are all guys that are more than likely just going to get chopped in a week's time.
All right. So I, you know, we may have to get Nick on. I really do not understand why is, because that might be a whole nother category. Guys that you want on the team that you've got to trade for. And Nick has just thrown Teddy Bridgewater just like in with the free agents. Which I guess Kyle Van Noy would fit in that category as well. Oh, Richie's pointing out we actually do have a thing. It's called Trade Target.
Trade Target.
That actually does exist. All right, so.
Maybe, seriousness, if I were to defend Nick on this, maybe what he's saying is that he's making an assumption that Teddy Bridgewater is going to be released. He's not interested in trading for him, but if he were to be released, then he would be on the free agent board, although technically he's not a free agent right now.
That would be its own category. I believe he's going to be released, and in that case, Adam is a free agent, but I don't want to trade for
him. Look at how you're so protective over your boards.
They're not my boards.
No, they're definitely your boards.
Well, that is a big insult to Richie, who gives himself on that.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
That is like
Mike. Richie's only been assigned to execute your boards.
That's like Mike Evans saying all the sound for the, you know, bit that I screwed up was, can be attributed to Richie, and Kevin's like looking at his chicken fingers like, what are you talking about? Just really quick, though. Dude, that looked like a killer chicken fingers meal last night.
Oh, it did, didn't it?
Because he had the filet with the chicken fingers.
Right.
I've been pretty good on my diet, but dude, I had a breaking point moment looking at that last night. Double dipping sauce.
What kind of sauces do we get? What are we talking?
Oh, you got to go honey mustard and barbecue.
Do you mix them together? Or are they totally separate?
You got to separate them.
Dude, yeah. His presentation, the photo. You're the chicken fingers man. I'm not even lying. Had instant hunger pains just looking at what you were eating.
I rank them a 9.6. They were that good.
Wow.
What a day.
Plus the steak, so that escalates it there.
It's quite the honor.
Yeah, I just wouldn't think of adding the steak to the chicken fingers.
No, I don't think I've ever seen that. Like, was that an encore? Like, was that
the entree.
Like, entree, on the menu. Encore, the same thing.
Steak and chicken fingers.
Yeah.
With double dipping sauce.
I got really excited.
Nice. Very impressive.
Well, speaking of excitement, wait till you see these mock drafts that are coming out. We've got it all for you on a Friday right here on The Drive.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and T-Man.
This is somebody trying way too hard. This is not even a country song. This is bad. Oh. Can you agree with me on that?
No.
Oh, you like this one?
I like the band for sure.
Who is it?
Well, we've talked about it a lot.
Florida Georgia Line?
Yes.
Oh, I like them. Oh, they're
well, apparently you don't like them.
Well, they're a big poser band, aren't they? Oh, man. Whee! Okay.
Well, you can boycott Florida Georgia Line, much like I'm going to boycott your free agent list.
Yeah, what are you doing now?
It feels good. I mean, I'm a rebel without a cause at this point.
Okay. Is that another song by Florida Georgia Line?
No, but I think that's a song by somebody. Yeah. I'm removing my list from the free agent fever list.
All right.
And I won't be out there. It's just going to say boycott. I'm going to have my own little section.
Where's that going?
It says Tyler's off-season priority list.
Okay.
Because DMAC overcomplicates the word free agent.
Well, okay. So that means, you know, Nick has Teddy Bridgewater on the free agent.
Well, he could join me on the off-season priority list.
You'd have some company over there.
There you go. Me and Nick. What do you know?
So now you can put anything up there, trades or,
sure,
you know, sign in Shelby Harris or
right.
It's a priority list.
Yeah.
You'd kind of have who knows what chaos you're going to have over there.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
Are you doing that or is Richie building that board for you?
Well, much like Richie has built every board in this room because you've requested it, I've officially requested a board, and now he has to do it because you overcomplicated it. It's your fault, not mine.
How have I overcomplicated things? Either you're a free agent or you're not. Either you're a trade target or you're not. Either you're draftable or you're not. And once you're not, you move somewhere else because now you're not.
Wait, can they not sign him?
Who?
Justin Simmons.
Yeah, of course they can sign.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Oh my lord. Okay, well, good luck with that. Have fun. So, boycott. You're now boycotting the free agent fee report.
That's right. Yes, boycotted. I'm off.
I got a. Oh, by the way, Tony. No kidding. Why we can't have nice things? You're right. Tony Kovaleski will join us after 5 o'clock. Obviously, a lot more serious about the Von Miller case. If you didn't catch the news. There will not be charges pressed against Von Miller in a alleged domestic violence case. It will not be pressed forward. And we'll talk to Tony Kovaleski about the details. Apparently, part of that report will be Von has lost endorsements that Tony is aware of. And we'll get some details about that coming up. So, I mean, I think it's a logical question because there has been something negative that has actually impacted Von financially. Does this give Von some sort of room for coming back after the Parker police? We'll ask Tony Kovaleski about that after 5 o'clock. Mock drafts. I do love my mock drafts for sure. Pro Football Focus has one out, as does Todd McShay. Which of these do you like a little bit more than the other? Which kind of, catches your fancy one way or the other. We can go over both of them. I'm happy to do it.
Oh, let's go over them. I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't read them.
Oh. All right, my bad.
Like, do show prep? Why would I do that?
All right. Well, maybe I can compare and contrast. Maybe that's a good way to do it. So Todd McShay and Pro Football Focus both have Trevor Lawrence going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Despite the reports by Mike Evans, Trevor Lawrence is a quarterback. The New York Jets.
What?
Well, Mike thinks.
I think that was just slander right there.
Mike doesn't think Trevor Lawrence is a quarterback.
Is that right?
Well, he says there can only be one, Zach Wilson. And so thus, logically, Trevor Lawrence apparently isn't a quarterback.
Oh, okay.
New York Jets, Todd McShay has them staying put and taking Zach Wilson. The shine on Zach Wilson is a blistering bright. And Pro Football Focus latest mock, the Carolina Panthers do a deal. They get it done. And they move up to 2 to get Zach Wilson.
Okay. Now, I'm already very curious about that.
Okay.
What does it say what they had to give up to go to number 2?
It does. Well, they say that they would offer Christian McCaffrey for that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So Christian
McCaffrey and Christian, swap 8 to 2.
Right. And other picks. What was it? Second rounder, Christian McCaffrey, first rounders.
Because that's obviously of particular interest to me and my, I am still on the Bebop. I haven't boycotted that one just yet. So, for me, I've got Zach Wilson moving up to number 2. Of course, I'm curious what, that actually takes, right?
Great player, draft picks. Here on number 3, Pro Football Focus has the Texans moving up with via the Dolphins. So in this particular case, Deshaun Watson goes to the Dolphins.
Right.
And
also interesting to me that he thinks that both the number 2 and number 3 overall selections are available for trade.
Correct. Pro Football Focus does.
Right.
And McShay has the Panthers now. He has them doing the deal at 3. So Texans, Justin Fields, both Justin Fields. Panthers with Justin Fields and Todd McShay. Texans with Justin Fields. So both of these mocks have quarterbacks going 1, 2, and 3.
All right. Interesting.
So the Broncos don't get this deal done. All right. How we doing with Todd McShay with 4? Pretty good for quarterbacks as the Falcons take Trey Lance.
Jeez.
1, 2, 3, 4. You know, Trey Lance from North Dakota State. You know, the team that lost the University of Northern Colorado Bears today in baseball, 8-4, up at the Jack. Take that, Bisons.
So you won your coffee bet, so I guess now you can say that.
Yep.
Nice job.
Jake Gitter with two dingers today. Way to go, Git. We're going to roll them. Had an issue with South Dakota last week. We're going to take care of North Dakota.
Mm.
So Trey Lance goes for 1-2-3-4. Here at Pro Football Focus, they got Ja'Marr Chase going to Atlanta. 5, the Bengals, Penei Sewell for both. 6, Kyle Pitts for McShay, tight end. 6 for Pro Football Focus, Devonta Smith. 7, Lions, Ja'Marr Chase with McShay. 7, Lions, Jalen Waddle for Alabama. 8, the Jets, Kyle Pitts for Pro Football Focus. And in this one, the Dolphins have traded back because they're keeping Tua, according to McShay, Devonta Smith. Now, McShay has the Broncos now in action with the Niners. And Pro Football Focus has the Broncos with a quarterback. Details of that next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Huge news today regarding Von Miller not going to be charged and Justin Simmons being franchise tagged. John Clayton, who writes for DenverFan.com, our senior Broncos insider, will join us in just a few minutes to hash out some of those details and what it all means. In terms of the mock drafts, I left off with where the Broncos were going to go. Let me just do Todd McShay here first. And just to recap quickly, Jaguars, this is just Todd McShay. Trevor Lawrence, Jets, Zach Wilson. Carolina trades with the Dolphins, and they take Justin Fields. The Falcons pick up Trey Lance. The Bengals, Sewell. Eagles, Pitts. Lions, Ja'Marr Chase. Dolphins, Devonta Smith. In that trade, so they're keeping, in Todd McShay's world, they're keeping Tua. And then come the Broncos with McShay at 9. He has, for a second rounder this year and a first rounder or second rounder in 2022, the Niners going from 12-9 and the Niners taking Mac Jones. Okay. Now, for the Broncos, they select Caleb Farley. All right. So he has 5 quarterbacks going in the top 9. That is a big new trend, 5 quarterbacks in the top 10 this year. That's happening all over the place. If the Broncos do decide to not move on to a quarterback in this draft, how do you like something like that where they trade back? They roll the dice a little bit that one of their corners that they're interested in, Farley and Surtain, will be there. What do you think about that move and what they would pick up for it?
If they've decided that they don't want a quarterback and there's nobody on the board that they're still interested in at number 9, I love that idea. I think that they should do that. This is a good year for corners. You can get a lot. There's a lot of starting corners out there this year. And certainly you will be you'll be able to select one anywhere between 12 and 20 even. I would move back with the Patriots down to 15 if they want to move up to go get Mac Jones. Mm-hmm. I would do that as well. Although I will admit that when I see this and I see that the Niners are moving up to select a quarterback, your guy, Mac Jones, by the way,
yeah,
it does make me feel like, ooh, that feels a lot like 2018.
Right.
Like you've got an opportunity. Oh, man, you better be right that he's not good. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
No issues.
I honestly have no issues at all. I don't think that there's going to be 5 quarterbacks that actually work out in this year's draft. I don't. I think that this is going to be a year in which many guys get overdrafted, but, you better be right on the guy that is available when you're on the clock.
All right. Fair enough. Cause there's no guarantees. No guarantees. So all 5 guys inevitably will not work out. How many do you think will?
I think in any given year in the long run, once, 6-7 years have gone by, you've usually got 1-2 guys that work out. So in this year's class, I would predict that you've got 2 of them, and it's probably going to be Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson.
Okay.
And I'm not just talking about short term, like things are okay. I think that there's guys in the 2018 class that things look like they're okay right now. But in the long run, you might look at it like, probably wasn't worth the number one overall selection, or probably wasn't worth whatever it might be. You know, if you only go to the playoffs once over a guy's tenure, to me, that was not worth it.
I love my guy, Stokely, but I heard him just making... He inevitably or...
It's a no offense Friday, so you didn't need to say you love him. Right. You just needed to say no offense.
Sorry, my bad. No offense, Stoke, because you agree with most of the things that we say around here. But your idea that you could just take a quarterback late in the first round, or hey, maybe just scoop him up in the second round, it's just not the way of the world anymore. It does not happen anymore. And no, that is not, nobody is sitting here pining away for Kyle Trask, nor I will be shocked if Kyle Trask is taken in the second or third round. I will be shocked.
Oh, I wouldn't at all.
Well, I will be.
Why? What, you think just because he doesn't go in the first that nobody's going to be interested in him in the second?
Correct.
Wrong.
Okay, we'll see.
Wrong.
Well, I'm not putting anything on it because dumb teams do dumb things, but it makes no logical sense. And if you don't take him in the first, just wait on Kyle Trask. And if seriously he's not there, because Stokely was all hung up on Kellen Mond, because Kellen Mond with Chris Sims is getting a lot of hype right now.
Okay.
And I wouldn't change my mind on Kellen Mond either. I'd wait to the fourth or fifth round for somebody like that.
Well, so is this what you're saying? That if you want Kellen Mond, which by the way, you do want to draft Kellen Mond as your second quarterback in the draft.
Fourth or fifth round if he's okay. There.
So why wouldn't you just draft him in the first round then, according to what you're saying?
I don't believe in him as much. I think there's a difference between Kellen Mond and these other quarterbacks.
All right, so then what's the difference
between... I don't believe in just picking any quarterback.
So then what's the difference between taking him in the second round and the fourth round?
Because you're giving up on starters at other position, and you prevent yourself from building depth if you take a quarterback you're not really into in the second or third round. That's it. Because you still need to get...
And this is where you and I digress a little bit. I'm with you. Hey, man, you need a quarterback. Take him as high as you possibly can. But I disagree that if you happen to be in the second round and you need a quarterback, there's a guy that you think you could develop. And if it's particularly... Wow, I didn't get that one out well.
Close enough.
But if you've got like an Aaron Rodgers situation and you think that you could select a guy in the second round and develop him for a couple of years, I think that's a good idea. Or Ben Roethlisberger even.
The Pro Football, that's a big disagreement we have, but we don't have time to yell at each other about it, but that's okay. Pro Football Focus goes on and says, the Lions take Jaylen Waddle at 7, the Jets via the Panthers take tight end Kyle Pitts, and it has the Broncos taking Trey Lance from North Dakota State, who again, as I reminded you, lost in baseball to all of our UNC Bears earlier today. Here's the logic. Denver needs to make another bet at the quarterback position. And after taking a reasonable shot in the second round in 2019 with Drew Lock, dumb statement, they take a similar strong-arm prospect in Trey Lance with a much higher pick. Our college-to-pro projection system is a little bearish, which is good, on Lance if you put him in the same circumstances he endured at North Dakota State. But given offensive coordinators Pat Shermer's success, with some young quarterbacks, Sam Bradford, and less elite quarterbacks, Case Keenum, there's enough there in Denver to justify taking this shot. Wow. Well, let's get back to that in just a little bit, because I think that is... All right, maybe I don't have to get back to it. That's insane, right?
Which part?
All of it! Pat Shermer's going to develop him. Trey Lance is a perfect fit. Vic Fangio works out well. I mean, you know...
I know this. Trey Lance is a terrible fit for Pat Shermer.
Right. The whole thing is nuts. I don't even know where Pro Football Focus is coming with this whatsoever. It doesn't make any sense.
Trey Lance is going to be the absolute boom or bust pick of the 2021 draft class.
The Broncos taking
Somebody might hit a home run with him, or you might flame out in 2 years.
I think it's an absolutely insane notion that the Broncos would take Trey Lance. I think that's crazy. I'm out on Trey Lance. I am 1,000% out on Trey Lance. I'm not saying he won't be successful in the NFL, Tyler, but considering the circumstances the Broncos are under, taking Trey Lance makes absolutely positively zero sense, in my opinion.
All right.
There you go. So it's not just take one, I guess. Our guy, John Clayton, is joining us, presented by Flesh and Beck Law, injury attorneys. Read John's latest on the Broncos every day at denverfan.com. And, John, okay, Justin Simmons is in the news and got franchise tag. This was somewhat expected. How do you think it plays out from here?
Yeah, well, I think it's going to play out in the sense that I think he still wants to be there. I think what will happen, and I think this was the wise thing to do, because technically in the short term, they get him on a two-year deal with two franchise tags at $25 million, but they still have until July 15th to figure out if they can get a long-term deal. And, of course, with the cap going down to maybe $180 million, you know, you need the time to figure it out. You see how the market goes. You can see if you can put together a $14 million deal by July 13th or 14th. And then get him signed long term.
John, do you think that this is the type of situation that will take until midsummer or so before they would come to an agreement on any sort of long term deal?
It's like anything else. Deadlines mean everything. And so if you go through history and see some of the franchise tags, I still remember one year where there was about five deals that got done like on the 14th and 15th of July. Now, once it gets past the 15th of July, then it's a one-year deal. And that takes away a lot of leverage from the Broncos because, you know, anytime you go, you're not going to get a third franchise tag. And so what ends up happening is that now, and the money's coming in next year at 2022 from TV money, then have a good chance of losing him. But at least what they have, it protect themselves. They get him at a reasonable price. He gets reasonable money too, and then they'll have time to get something done by the 12th, 13th, or 14th of July.
This game of chicken has been played so often throughout NFL history. What is your experience with why things shake out one way or the other? What are some of the typical tipping points?
Well, the tipping points are basically where the market's going, and what the Broncos, I think, you know, now can come back and to tell Justin, it's like, hey, look how the market has decreased. I mean, it's like, you know, $14 million safeties in free agency are now getting 11 or 12. And that's if you would have not got the franchise tag, you probably wouldn't get that good deal, even though, again, I think he's in that range where he deserves the $14+ million. And so, it's what's happened, though, the franchise tag was so one-sided before, but now with the numbers getting so big because it's tied to the cap. Now, this year is not good, but it doesn't affect Justin because, again, this is a second franchise tag with a 20% increase. But in the end, it's fairer for the player because the numbers get so big, less players tend to get franchised.
John, where do you put the free safety position, just an overall value on a defense? How important is it? And, you know, are teams okay with paying $13, $14 million for a free safety?
Yeah. I mean, you watch a deal that they can get something done in Seattle with Jamal Adams. I mean, you saw that Buda Baker, he ended up getting 14.75. The safety position is even more because teams are going more five defensive backs. The free safety can play the cover one, cover three. And be back there to kind of pick off things and then cover ground. And the safety position, the strong safety position, has even gotten more valuable because of the way colleges have kind of translated their offenses into the league with more RPOs. And you need now a safety, not just to stop the run, but you need a speedy safety that can come in there and almost play like a linebacker, go across the field and do all those things that you want. So, no, it's become even more. In the last 2-3 years, Matt Rhule, coming from college in Baylor, basically says, you need a positionalist player. And, of course, that would be that strong safety because he could be a linebacker. He can be a free safety. He can, be a slot cornerback, and he can do just about everything.
So now we know that Von Miller will not face any charges. The DA did not decide to press through with that after the investigation was done by the Parker police. Okay. How does that impact things, if anything, for how the Broncos would be looking at the decisions they have to make with Vaughn?
Yeah, because now it's just a pure cap decision. Because you notice when George Payton talked yesterday, he mentioned it's like, yeah, well, we're still looking some legal things on the guarantee. And, of course, what the legal things on the guarantee would be is that he's got a $7 million base guarantee on his $18 million salary. So what you can see is that if he would be found guilty of something, then they can void that guarantee. And if they kept the $18 million, they can wipe out clean and not have to pay the $7 million. I still think in the end, it's wiser for the Broncos to keep the $18 million. Now, again, that may force them to lose Kareem Jackson, but, just to buy time, because I think he's played so well his 8 Pro Bowl seasons that now what you can look at is that, take him into the summer, see how he is physically. If he looks good, hey, fine. If he doesn't, give him this, you know, you get the $7 million and he can go to another team. But again, I think they owe it to him and the team to buy him that opportunity.
Well, I don't really know what leverage the team has over Vaughn at this point, to be honest with you. With J.J. Watt getting the deal that he got, now that we know that there's not going to be any charges brought against Vaughn Miller, I'm not even sure how they could approach him and ask him for a pay cut at this point.
Yeah, probably not, because I know Ben Roethlisberger took a $5 million pay cut to open up some cap room. You know, Vaughn, you know, might take as a kid, because again, when you saw the original contract come out for J.J. Watt, you know, at $15.5 million, you always are skeptical, because what the agent does in leaking the story is give you the max value. Yeah. So it turns out to be $14 million, not $15.5 million. So it's 2 years at $28 million. And so, you know, there can be a slight adjustment that maybe Vaughn can do to help out cap-wise. Like, for example, let's say he takes a $3 or $4 million pay cut and then takes a couple of voidable years to give them more cap room. You know, that might be one of the better options. But then, of course, you have to take a little bit more of a cap hit if you do cut him in the summertime. But, you know, he, you know, it's not like, I mean, it's a good situation, because he's sitting there one way or another. Okay, I'm making 18 now, but if I get cut, then I'm going to be in the open market. But in the open market, he's going to struggle to get 10.
What was going on with Kyle Van Noy in Miami?
And this is when you have a team that doesn't put extra guarantees in the second year of the contract, you leave yourself vulnerable. And so here he was on a 4 year, $51 million deal. He was team captain.
Yeah.
He did a great job with a number of tackles and everything else, and he offered great leadership. But we're in a time right now, we're going to go through the biggest purge of big salaries we've ever seen in a National Football League. Mm-hmm. And so he became a victim. And again, I keep on going back to the numbers, is that, you know, last year, back in 2018, when the cap was 177.2, and we're thinking the cap's going to be around 180, there was 155 guys making $10+ million. At the end of last year, there was 209, and this year started out with 184, and we've already had 18 guys either been cut or retired that are making those big dollars. And so whether it's going to be Desmond Trufant at a $10 million deal, Kyle Van Noy making the four years, $51 million, you're just going to see a bunch of that. In fact, take a look at the guard market. I mean, you could have, well, Gabe Jackson's been told he's going to be cut. He was making $11 million. You know, Trey Turner for the Los Angeles Chargers, he's being shopped around. You know, you've got two other $10-plus million guys. I mean, Kevin Zeitler, you know, he's being shopped around and maybe cut. You know, they're trying to get trade value, but nobody wants to take on those big contracts.
All right, John. Well, man, that's, you know, we have Graham Glasgow here, who they acquired last year for big money. We were actually speculating about him. Should we keep our eyes open a little bit on that
Am I correct? And he played pretty well, didn't he?
He played fine, I think. He got, he's overpaid for his actual skill set, but, you know, he certainly wasn't a liability out there or anything.
But here's the interesting part. I know that if you look at the offensive lines and the teams in the division, well, the Chargers aren't very good, and the Trey Turner deal didn't work out. He was hurt too much. You look at the Raiders. They could be down three starters because they're shopping Trenton Brown. They are told Gabe Jackson he's going to get cut. And then you see the problems that are there with Richie Incognito. So they could be down three starters. Mm. And then you look at Kansas City. You know, their two starting tackles are coming off major, major injuries, and you saw how bad the line is internally. If Lawrence Tardif DuVernay doesn't come back from Canada, where he's a doctor and helping out in the pandemic, then their line's in trouble. I mean, right now, I think what it might come down to is a decision between Juwan James and Glasgow, but I get this feeling that Glasgow is going to stay.
Okay, wow. Great stuff, John. We really appreciate it, and we love reading it at denverfan.com. Thank you, John.
Hey, thank you.
That's 104.3 The Fan senior Broncos writer John Clayton, presented by Flesh and Beck Law Injury Attorneys. Read John's latest on the Broncos every day. He's speculating that Ryan Fitzpatrick may retire. That's at denverfan.com. It's KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver. This is how we do it. Well, it really does feel like we've broken out of winter now. As we have this just absolute spectacular day, Tyler, and on the verge of a spectacular weekend, so...
Woke up with snow on the ground, checked the forecast. I didn't go out there with the shovel. Why would I?
Why would you?
I knew it was going to melt today.
Gone. You got to have the right facing driveway to get away with that.
Yeah,
but
I don't use a shovel anyways. Got a plow. Put it on the tractor.
Really have a plow.
Put it on the tractor. Yeah, yeah. Nice little blade. Just get it done. Knock it out.
I've seen your joint. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
You don't need a plow.
But I could have a plow. So I do have a plow.
The seriousness of the Von Miller case is not lost on anybody. The allegations are significant. How it all came to be and was brought to light in an investigation struck all of us as unusual from the get-go. And then there was a statement by Von's, I don't know, girlfriend,
fiance,
okay. And it just seemed to, okay, I mean, this is it. So when it came back up again recently, it was another like, whoa, what's going on here? Like, why is this all coming out when there's no charges, no citation, nothing going on? And then there is a significant financial element of things that has to happen for the Broncos to decide whether we put down $7 million to keep this thing going and get a new deal done, or the Broncos can just get out of it completely. And all of a sudden you have these legal, serious legal ramifications hanging over Von's head. But today we find out that it's just done.
Yep.
It's the DA's not moving forward. They're just not. It's just done. And you'd have to really wonder what exactly was going on from top to bottom. Tony Kovaleski joins us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline, Denver 7 investigative reporter. And Tony, thank you very much for joining us. So this is a little different for us, maybe different for you being on a sports station, but this is one of these instances where things cross lines. So maybe you can offer some insight as to this entire process, what you've learned in your investigation.
Well, first off, D-Mac and Tyler, I'm a regular listener of your show. Appreciate what you guys
thank
do.
You. Right on, right on. Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity. You know what? Let me at least start out. As an investigative reporter, I have done many stories, several stories, on athletes getting preferential treatment. Okay? Having said that, I'm also looking at an issue where an athlete is getting singled out because he's an athlete. And when you look at what's happened here, I don't think anybody is surprised at the conclusion the DA came up with. When you look at the dynamics of what he was facing, new DA, you have a case in front of you that potentially can impact a future Hall of Famer, a future Bronco, Ring of Famer. And don't get me wrong here. If Von Miller did what police investigated, then obviously he should have been held accountable. But when you look at what the Parker Police Department did here, unusual, unprecedented, and by all indications, Von is singled out because he's an athlete. We called the Parker Police Department earlier in the week asking for an interview with the police chief to explain why he did what he did, announcing that he's turning the file over to the DA's office. Confirmed with the Parker Police Department that in recent history they can't cite a single case where they have done this for a regular person or an athlete, any case or a domestic violence case, if that's what this was. And when you look at all that and you hear what came out, and now you also realize that if they went forward with charges here, when you've got the fiance who had that post on Instagram saying that things are better, now that doesn't mean you can't go forward with the case, and that does happen. But you add that up, you bring in facing Harvey Steinberg, probably one of the best, if not the best, defense attorneys in the state. All those dynamics, it got you to no surprise that they didn't move forward with charges. But now the issue is, was Von Miller harmed because of the way the Parker Police Department handled this case? I asked earlier in the week, why did you come out with it? Well, they said their case was wrapped up, and they announced that they were finished, and they passed it forward. I said, okay, have you done that before? No. And I said, could you said the process continues and not announcing that you're coming out with this case to the DA's office? Because sources I've talked to say this is really, really unusual. Why they did it, I still don't have that answer.
So, Tony, I guess the real gist of it is that this whole thing is so bizarre because specifically they came out and announced that they are investigating and not charging. So just to be very clear, that's what you're referring to when you say that this has never happened before, correct?
Well, when they announced they turned the file, Tyler, over to the DA's office. So that the investigating part was also unusual. But and everybody has it on their radar. I get it. People are calling the Parker Police Department saying, what's new, what's new? But announcing that they've turned the file over to the DA's office, which essentially is saying we are recommending criminal charges because you don't turn a file over and say we've got nothing, generally. So when they did that, that took it to another level. So now it put pressure on John Kellner, the new DA of the 18th Judicial. It became public that now they're looking at it. And then they came out today and said, you know, no charges. So that's the unusual part. And I've got from a very well-placed source that this has had an economic impact on Vaughn in that he lost some endorsement deals because of the announcing of what came forward. So, you know, I don't think anybody is going to be massively concerned about Vaughn Miller losing money. He's doing well in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet he's still a human. He's still a resident and a part of our community. And should he be singled out because he's an athlete, that appears to be what happened here.
Well, you know, this is actually a tricky issue. For example, one thing that Vaughn was supposed to be on was a Nickelodeon presentation during the Super Bowl, which, you know, went away. And I don't even know if there was any money tied into that because money might not really be the goal with Vaughn Miller. What may be the goal is what he does after his football life, where all this stuff could add up, Tony, to be incredibly detrimental to Vaughn for the rest of his life. So I'm curious if there's any feeling whatsoever that Vaughn may try to defend himself in this and sue the Parker police.
Well, you know, I think that's a question for his attorney, Harvey Steinberg. If I wanted somebody to file a lawsuit for me with something like that, that's the first guy I call. But I also think there's probably some logic here that Vaughn wants this just to go away,
right,
and move on. And if you go ahead and you take that action, then it brings all of these facts up again. And so, you know, he's going to have a decision to make along with his attorney, but it's important to realize unusual, unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you're talking to a guy who's done many stories because athletes get preferential treatment. And right, why did they get it? In this case, it's the reverse.
Wow.
Why was he singled out? And I think the Parker Police Department needs to answer that question to our community.
Tony, we really appreciate it. And thanks for being such a great listener. Thank you, Tony.
Appreciate the opportunity, gentlemen.
Okay.
Thanks, Tyler. Thanks,
D-Mac. Just having a light moment. Tony Kovaleski, the chief investigative reporter for Denver 7. Okay. Well, Tony did a great job framing everything in terms of how unusual this actually was.
Right, right.
So Vaughn was treated different as an athlete, harsher, because there was no precedent on other cases, athlete or not, that were treated the same.
Well, I would be shocked if Vaughn were to try to sue the Parker Police Department. You know, does he have a case? I don't know. Harvey could answer that question. But I would be surprised if he were to pursue any sort of settlement or sue the Parker Police Department, because man, that's just keeping your name in the spotlight even further. And you know, do you really want to be associated with that? Does that help you? Wait, I mean, and honestly, if you're talking about like future endeavors and what's going on post football, does being a part of suing a police department help you in that as well? I don't know. It's all very, very complicated. I would guess, and this is just a guess, that Vaughn's just going to, it's done, and he's just going to move forward in life. But who knows? Who knows?
Weird. What a weird tale. So today it reaches its, I think, it reaches its conclusion.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if we hear anything further.
It will be interesting to see what, if any, reaction will come out of the Parker Police Department, because they're not looking all that good right about now. And like Tony Kovaleski says, at what point do they answer, well, why and what made Vaughn different?
I don't think that we'll hear much of anything from anybody. I mean, why would it do the Parker Police Department any good to have any further statements regarding this matter?
Why did it do them any good to make it so public in the first place?
Well, it's a fair question.
I don't know.
It's a fair question.
All right. I got something much lighter. Can I just
make please, let's go.
Dramatic move lighter.
It's Friday.
All right.
No offense, but I don't want to be heavy on a Friday.
I get it. I get it. Vic Fangio's press conference with George Payton. Now, we covered the broad strokes yesterday, the big stuff. But there is always other moments with Vic Fangio, some more subtle than others. And sometimes the things that he says are deep, introspective, something you really, really got to put your mind to.
Yeah.
So
like Mike Evans, right?
No. Mike Evans, not deep.
Oh.
Unless it's the buffet, where if they're out of crab legs, I guess he leaves. But we present this.
And now,
oh,
Deep Thoughts with Vic Fangio.
Yes. Meatballs and
that's like corners that can play good.
I'll play that again because you might have missed it.
But I just like corners that can play good.
Mm. One more time.
But I just like corners that can play good.
What are you looking for in a corner, coach?
But I just like corners that can play good.
What skill sets?
But I just like corners that can play good.
Okay. That helps.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Vic Fangio.
We'll just keep going with those as they present itself. Deep thoughts from Vic Fangio. But just for the record.
Did you only have one deep thought? I thought we had a whole thing going on here.
I think I only have one. Do I have more than one deep thought, Richie? Oh. I think I only got one.
Well, you know, I guess that makes sense.
I can play others.
If you got a really deep thought that you've been stewing on, you probably aren't just going to have a whole bunch of them. You've got a deep thought.
But I just like corners that can play good.
Right.
That's all he wants. He just wants corners that can play good.
It's all we ever wanted, right?
I mean, he wants all the meatballs with the sauce. We've established that.
BJ, what do you need to do? What do you need to fix?
Wait, I do have another one. I know I have another one.
Oh, okay.
It's when he didn't know the coaches that were being hired. Which one is that? I mean, I might need a little help here. Do we have that or not? That was awesome. He didn't even know one of his assistants that was hired. Oh, you have? All right, I'll cue you, Kevin. Ready? Ready? Oh, hold on.
Now, Deep Thoughts with Vic Fangio.
Yeah, he's a guy that I didn't know anything about until I started the search. You know, I tend to take, unless I have a guy in mind that I know and I've worked with and I know will be a great fit and great coach for us, I tend to take my time on those things because you never know what will turn up the longer you wait. And I got rewarded for that this year because his name, I mean, we were at least 2 weeks into the opening and somebody brought his name up to me. And fortunately, he's been around people through my investigation that I know and trust. And those people know me and know what I would like. And, you know, so we interviewed him and liked the interview. And he's been here now, you know, about 10 days probably. And up to this point, we're very, very happy to get him. And I know Green Bay was very disappointed to lose him because, after we offered him the job, they came back hard to try and keep him.
There you go. What's his name? We don't know. Oh, Christian Parker.
I wonder what a Vic Fangio investigation looks like.
What do you think it looks like? That's a good question. What do you think that looks like?
Hey, coach, I need a DB's coach. Got anybody I like?
You know my theory and my philosophy.
Right.
Who's out there?
I just want to win. So do you got any coaches that want to win?
I mean, don't forget.
But I just like corners that can play good.
You know, he's DB's coach, so can he pick out a corner that knows how to play good?
Coach, is it all right if you've never heard of him before?
Well, do you sign off on him?
Well, I know your strategy, so I think he'd be great.
Sounds great. It's taken me 2 weeks to get here. I've got absolutely no idea of who I want to hire. You know, all the top names that were available, I was not interested in them. They didn't want to hire corners that played good.
I'm sitting on that Zoom call just waiting patiently for my term, and the Broncos website guy goes, Coach, what do you think about Christian Parker? And I'm just like, really? Like, you couldn't ask him that in the hallway when you see him in 2 minutes after the Zoom thing's over? You couldn't get a quote about Christian Parker, you know, like, as soon as... You got to ask that now, huh?
Mm.
Uh-huh. There you go, Vic Fangio. How involved do you think Vic's really going to be in everything here? Or anything? In everything and anything?
I mean, in all seriousness...
We're kind of poking some fun, but, I mean, how deeply is he actually involved, do you think?
I'm sure that George Payton will treat him with tons of respect, and I'm not just playing a game here. I'm sure that he will involve him in the process. He will ask him for the type of guys that he wants to draft and all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, George Payton, I would be shocked. Seriously, I would be shocked if he were drafting anybody that was like... for a specific schematic fit for either Vic Fangio or Pat Shurmur, because George Payton, that's not what his long-term vision is.
No.
Or maybe it will become that, but as of today, he doesn't know that.
Yeah. I don't have any beef with Vic Fangio, really, but it's so clear what he's great at and like what he's not great at this point. You know, we talk about what we know, what we think about quarterbacks and what we know. I do, Tyler, think you can say the same thing about coaches. After a couple of years, you kind of get it.
Sure. They've all got strengths and weaknesses, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But remember in the offseason when you wanted to hire a GM that would be there just to be the voice for Vic Fangio?
Well,
remember when you wanted Vic Fangio to be in charge of personnel? I do.
Hold on.
I'm like an elephant, man. I don't forget.
I didn't want that.
Oh, you didn't?
No, but it makes sense.
Oh, it does.
If you believe in Coach Fangio, sure. But they didn't. They hired the one guy. Out of all the guys they interviewed, they hired the one guy who would clearly be Vic Fangio's boss.
Right, thank
clearly.
Goodness.
All right, fine. Fine.
Don't say you didn't want him. You wanted that.
Tyler, I called for Brian Daboll to be hired and then have Daboll hire the GM. And you know that I did. See, you're trying to...
Right, but now you're doing that thing where, like, you live in fantasy land where it has nothing to do with reality.
I said what I want, and then, you know, because that is a little bit of a trend, but not with the Broncos. Listen, everything got turned on its head when John Elway fired himself. I mean, seriously, in hindsight... Could you have guessed that was going to happen?
No, man. I mean, if you think back on where we were at when this season ended, it was actually kind of stressful from a talk show perspective because you're thinking to yourself, what are we going to have?
Right.
It's going to be all the same. It's going to be John Elway.
Yep.
It's going to be Drew Locke. It's going to be Vic Fangio. It's going to be Pat Shurmur. What is going to change this offseason? And then all of a sudden, boom, dynamite went off. We had a new GM, and the possibilities are endless.
And just... You know, FYI, so far, as far as I can tell, everything has made sense.
It has.
Boye, made sense. Jarrell Casey, made sense. Put your foot in the toe in the pool on Matt Stafford, made sense. You said you were going to be in on every deal, you were. Likely there'll be something if Deshaun Watson is available. They're not going to shy away from it. I don't exactly know what they think of the quarterbacks and the scenarios that are out there now in terms of the draft, but we know George Payton is going to put everything into it. We know he has a huge binder of philosophy that he presented at his interview now. We know he gets to work starting at 4:50 a.m. and stays at least till 9 o'clock. We just know all these things. And for me, I don't know how you feel about it, for me, it does feel like a breath of fresh air. It gives me optimism where there was no optimism to be found.
I feel great about George Payton.
I do.
There hasn't been a really complicated issue that he's had to solve just yet. None of these releases or moves have been very difficult for him. So it'll be interesting to see the first big one.
All right. We have questions for Mount Palumbus Speak. RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. That's next.